Our next topic will be the end of Chevron deference, implications for the oil and gas industry. Our presenter is Alejandra Salas of McGinnis Lockridge. She specializes in litigation in the oil and gas industry. She has represented oil and gas exploration and production companies, royalty owners, and mineral owners in both state and federal court. Her experience includes a diverse range of cases, including lease disputes, royalty disputes, title issues, trespass claims, negligence, and contractual disputes. Prior to joining McGinnis Lockridge, she was a judicial law clerk to the Honorable David Counts of the United States District Court for the Western District of Texas, Midland, Odessa, and Pecos Divisions. Please join me in welcoming Alejandra Salas.
Hi, and good morning. I think I have a clicker. Let me see. There we go. All right, good morning again. Thank you all for being here today, and thank you to the Planning Committee for this opportunity to present on this topic that is very timely, I think. Again, my name's Alejandra Salas. I'm with the law firm McGinnis Lockridge, and today I'm going to be talking about the end of Chevron deference and what that means and the implications the end of Chevron deference will have or has in the oil and gas industry specifically, both at the federal level and then at the state level. This is a major turning point in administrative law, especially for heavily regulated industries like we all know the oil and gas industry is. There you go. So to start off, I'll provide you with sort of an overview of how I'll be tackling this issue. To start off, I'll give you some background, just a quick brief background on what Chevron deference is, and then move on to the Supreme Court's decision last summer in Loper-Bright to end Chevron deference. Next, I'll touch on the implications that Loper-Bright and the end of Chevron deference have had in federal energy regulation. And then finally, and important for all of us here in Texas, is Chevron-like deference in Texas. And so I'll touch on what that means and whether I think or what people are saying about whether Chevron-like deference in Texas might end or whether it'll still continue to stand. At the end, I'll just give you a few takeaways that I took from doing this research and putting this presentation together. So Chevron in a nutshell, so as many of you might know, Chevron was established in 1984 by the Supreme Court of Texas. I won't go into too much detail about the actual case because I only have 30 minutes to give you everything, all of my material. But in Chevron, the court established a two-step test where in courts, when looking at an agency's interpretation of a statute that they're charged with administering, we're required to first look at the statutory language and then determine whether that language is clear or ambiguous. If the language is clear, then the courts are required, we're required to enforce it as written. But the principle where it comes in is if the statutory language was found by the court to be ambiguous, then it was required to defer to the agency's interpretation of that statutory language so long as it was reasonable. And that meant that even if the court disagreed with the agency's interpretation of the statutory language, it was still required to defer to the agency's interpretation so long as that interpretation was reasonable and not contrary to the express statutory language. The reasoning in Chevron, and I'm going to say the key reasoning because I think there were different things that court discussed, but one of them was that the agencies are considered to be subject matter experts, and the court noted, you know, judges aren't experts, agencies are, and so they're better positioned to interpret these laws that they're also charged with administering. A second thing was that the court believed judges, you know, are not part of the political branch of the government, and so they can't be making...